Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome into the Ravens Press Pass Podcast. The first round of the NFL drafts is complete, and with their first round pick, the Ravens selected cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. The Ravens took Wiggins at pick number 30, and they were fired up about this addition. Wiggins gives them a talented, up-and-coming cornerback who Eric DaCosta said was the best cover cornerback in this draft class. After the first round was complete, we heard from GM Eric DaCosta and head coach John Harbaugh.
Well, guys, thanks for coming in. We're very, very excited to draft Nate Wiggins, one of the, in my opinion, the best cover corner in the draft. Highly athletic, fantastic feet. Really, in our opinion, a guy that can grow into being a true shutdown type corner. Ecstatic that he fell to us, and we'll take questions.
Eric, it seemed like once you got at number 30, you actually had a lot of choices at corner. It seemed like there were. Was there a tough decision, or was it pretty much clear cut on your board that Wiggins was there?
Well, we had a couple guys that we really liked. We were hopeful, so hopeful. We figured that, like, this draft, honestly, we had to come out of the first round with most likely a corner or an offensive lineman if we could. And, you know, you always hold your breath, for sure. Honestly, I didn't think that Nate would be there for us. You know, as the draft started to unfold and we started to see all those offensive linemen come off the board, we thought there might be a chance, and then you start to see the run on corners in the 20s. You know, I think Philly might have taken Mitchell, and then Arnold went, and then we started to get antsy. You know, the phone was ringing. We had a lot of different potential trade possibilities, but for us, it was always if Nate was there, we were going to pick. And, you know, if Nate wasn't there, you know, there was another guy we liked, but we also were going to look at possibly trading out.
Were you surprised that offensive players went so early? I think it was 13 in a row.
Not really. I mean, we kind of looked at it, and it was an offensive draft. I mean, there's more offensive players in this draft. It's just stacked on the offensive side this year at some positions. I mean, we knew the quarterbacks we're going to be picked high, and we had a strong inclination that offensive linemen were going to go too. So if you take the seven offensive linemen and the six quarterbacks, there's 13 players right there. So, you know, we weren't surprised, I don't think.
John, what's your idea about playing Nate? Do you feel like he's a day one plug-and-play type of guy? Do you see him inside or outside? How do you envision using him?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see him as an outside corner. That's kind of where he's made his hay, but he plays inside as well, and he did it in college. I think we'll just continue to be versatile with what we do with those DBs. Move them around, let them play in different spots. It gives us another quality starting corner. I'd say we got three, you know, legitimate starting corners. He's got to come and improve it and do it and all that, but we expect him to do it. We were excited. We were looking for Nate. You know, that was something that we were in the defensive room, actually in Chris Hewitt's office, me and about five of the defensive coaches before the draft started, about 7:45. And it came up, you know, what if Wiggins falls to us? Wouldn't that be something? You know, we're like, nah, that'll never happen. That couldn't happen. But how good would that look in our defense? And it worked out and came true. So we're excited.
Did you bring him in here? Was he in the pre-draft process?
He was.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
He's very slender. I mean, how does he project in sort of the run defense part of things from what you guys have seen?
Yeah, when you watch the tape, he comes up and smacks people. That's what he does. He's not afraid of the physical part of it at all. You know, he's a complete corner. You know, first of all, he's rangy and he can run. He's got very good feet. He changes direction. He puts his hands on people and press, and he runs up and tackles people with some physicality. So the weight doesn't impede him at all. And he's going to put on weight. I think he's over 180 now. So he's a young guy. He's 20 years old, right, Eric?
Yeah, he'll gain weight. I mean, if we get him up there with some of the scouts, you know, he'll pack it on pretty quick.
George Gokinas has got
get him with Manny. Get him with Manny in the kitchen. You know, we got a plan for him.
Eric, you mentioned obviously his cover instincts, and John was just saying he's a complete corner. How much do the big plays kind of factor into your desire to draft Nate? I mean, obviously we've all seen that the forced fumble right at the goal line where he's going down. I mean, do you feel like there's something about the big plays that Nate had in college that defines him as a player?
Well, when I think of Nate, I just think that he's a ridiculous athlete, very, very quick-footed, efficient. He's fast. He's tough. He's competitive. You know, in our division, we play a lot of really good receivers, and you've got to get off the field on third downs. And we were blessed last year to have a lot of depth in the secondary, and it really helped us quite a bit. And this is a guy that can come in here and play meaningful football right away for us. We're excited about that.
John, you touched on the versatility a little bit, but being able to add Wiggins playing on the outside, how big is that in terms of being able to maybe move Marlon around and just being as versatile as you guys were last year with some of the depth you had?
No question. I mean, Marlon's going to be able to slide in there and play inside. Brandon can slide in and play inside. You got Kyle coming down. You got Kyle going and playing the dime backer, possibly. We can do – we're just going to have a lot of options. I mean, Zach's going to be – he's going to be working on that versatility pretty – probably tonight.
Arthur had a heck of a season for us last year.
Yeah.
I know you guys trust your process and you don't really do the whole comparison thing, but I know you guys were high on Emmanuel Forbes last year, and this is another kind of skinny, fast guy. Does his struggles kind of work at your factor in any way to how you think about how a guy might board over from college to the NFL level?
I think, you know, it's a good question, Jonas. I think we look at everybody differently. You know, we just kind of study the player for who he is and what he does and what he puts on tape. Look at his skill set. We talk to people, which is a very important part of the process. We follow the guy around. And I think at that position, it's a very hard position to play. You know, a lot of guys can't do it. The biggest thing is, and John always says it, you've got to actually cover people. You've got to guard people. It's a hard thing. And Nate has proven that he can do that very, very well. He's a young player. We love that about him. He's 20 years old. One of the fastest players at the combine, silky smooth, and he will compete. He does tackle very well. People at the school are high on him. We were getting texts from the head coach. Dabo was texting us during the first round, please take this guy. So we're just very excited about him.
Eric, I know you always kind of, again, more about tape than sometimes about the workouts. But do you remember your reaction when Nate ran that 40 at the combine?
I mean, I was excited. I mean, I wasn't as fast as Worthy. My reaction when Worthy ran, but you know, no. I mean, he ran a 4.28, I think. So, yeah, it was a great workout. He didn't do much after that, but to see that speed, you know, super impressive. We had him in here. We met with him. We met with him at the combine. Spent a lot of time with him, and we're very excited to get him.
Eric, you mentioned at the pre-draft news conference the depth, especially in the offensive line and wide receiver. Did you seem or did you feel a bigger sense of urgency to identify cornerback and attack that position early?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and that's something that, you know, honestly kept me up at night, just because there are a lot of offensive linemen in this draft. There are, you know, a pretty good pool of receivers. But as I would go through and work on all these different, you know, simulations, it became apparent that if we didn't get a corner in the first round, it was going to be challenging to get a really good corner in the second round, third round, fourth round, who could help us right away. So, you know, not to say we wouldn't have taken a receiver, we would have taken an offensive lineman, but I think for us, if you're talking about all the different combinations, how we can be the best team we can be, I think just getting a corner at this point, like Nate, is probably the best way we could have started this weekend.
If he hadn't been there, do you think there would have been a lot of options to trade down, or at least some options to trade down?
And we had a lot of options. The phone rang a lot this year, and more so than it has in the last couple of years. And we, honestly, I can honestly say that we've probably had 8 different potential trades that we could have investigated.
Both back and forward, or just back?
Well, we're not really a forward team. you know, so one team did call us about coming up. We just were kind of like, oh, thank you, but that's not really something that we do, you know, like, so yeah, it was trading back.
John, you guys have done a really good job at taking some of these young players, 21, 20, in the drafts. How does that kind of factor into your evaluation of them, and why do you think you guys have done so well getting, you know, Cash Queen, Lamar, guys who are not quite physically mature but haven't developed into really good players?
That's a great question. I think Eric said it earlier. It's kind of probably more about the individual player, but you get the right kind of guy. He's coming out for a reason. He's a first-round pick for a reason. He's very talented. He's ready. Thinks he's ready. I know his head coach felt like he was ready coming out. And he's a young guy, but that's opportunity, the way we look at it. And he's determined. I mean, he's a motivated guy. He's talking about that he has a lot to prove. We both got on the phone with him and talked to him, and he's talking about what he has to prove. So, you know, our response was, all right, let's come in here next weekend. Let's get to work. Let's get started on it. You know, and I think he's planning on being a hard worker. And if he does that, you know, we've got a path for him. You know, we kind of got a plan for him, and we'll have him ready to go.
Do two more. Eric, as you look ahead to day two, do you still see a lot of offensive linemen who could help you right away?
I do.
Yeah. I knew you were saying that you're not much of a move-forward type team, but, you know, a couple trades in those 10 picks right in front of you. As you're sort of holding a button on Nate, maybe some other guys you like, was there any temptation to kind of move up as there was, as you're saying, a lot of people still enduring it, I'm sure, throughout the league. Was there a temptation to do something dramatic as you're just waiting and seeing how it would shake out?
Yeah, I'm just not really a trade-up type of guy, generally. I mean, it hasn't – I mean, we have – I mean, we traded up to get Lamar. We traded up to get Joe. But in most cases, I just feel that your chances to really maximize your draft are to stay where you are or go back. And so, you know, a lot of research.
You traded up to get Joe, then you traded back.
Yeah. Well, we traded back, and then we traded up.
Well, was that how it went? Up,
yeah.
Then back.
Yeah,
we went back then up.
Back then up. Which, for the record,
who's on first?
I was not necessarily in favor of that trade back up. However, I was outvoted.
Oh, that's right. I do.
Yeah, I was getting.
You're not voted by a vote of one.
I had by two. Well, two people were staring at me. But it's fine. It's good. You know, it's good. It's good. It worked out. So. I mean, I'm not saying it can't work out. You can trade up to get guys.
It was only 17 years ago.
You could be very successful doing it, but in general, I think it's just a risky business.
We'll finish up here. And Eric, on the trade back possibility, you've got all the teams calling. I'm curious, what was ultimately the reason of playing the decision just to stay? Was it just that Nate was such a good player, and what was kind of the process in making the decision to stay rather than?
Well, I got to give Derek Yam credit. Derek works for me. Upstairs and in analytics, he does a great job with modeling and different things, and he was convinced that we would get a player in our range of between 13 to 20 in our sequence. We're picking 30. I didn't think it was going to happen this year, but he was right. And so when you get a player that you have highly rated, who you love, who fills a position in need, then you got to take him.
We also had a chance to hear from Nate himself. He was celebrating the news with his friends and family, and we had a chance to hear from him on a Zoom call with the local media.
Hey, Nate, congratulations. Did you, with your interactions with the Ravens and when they came up with number, you know, 30, what was kind of your feelings? Did you think there was a really good chance that you were going to go to the Ravens?
Yes, sir. They always told me, like, if I was there, if I was available, they won't take me. So it was just, will I be available?
All right, we'll go to Garrett Downing.
Hey, Nate, congratulations. How would you just kind of describe the emotions of this night?
I mean, it was a lot of emotions going on to it. Just thinking I was going to go early, then fall to 30. I mean, it was a lot of emotion, but I'm happy to be here, man. I'm happy to be in Baltimore. So, I mean, I can't be any more happy.
Cliff Brown. Cliff, I think you're muted.
Sorry about that, Nate. Cliff Brown, Baltimore Ravens Media. Coach Harbaugh was just talking about on tape how he would come up and smack people on film. And people talk about, you know, your size being a slender guy. Just talk about your confidence about how you'll be able to, you know, handle tackling guys and playing defense at this level.
I just feel like it's just more as a weight thing. So when I get in my nutrition, I don't feel like it's going to be a big problem. So I feel like it's just take time. I mean, I'm 20 years old, so I mean, I ain't really already stretched out yet. So I know when I get to my peak, it's going to be scary. So
we'll go Childs Walker and then Gianna Han.
Congratulations. You know, Eric DaCosta told us that he felt like you're the best cover corner in the draft. What is it about your mindset and your physical tools do you think that makes you so comfortable on the outside like that?
Just my speed and my instincts and my physicality, just being on that island. Just being man on man, I feel like I'm the best man on man corner. I'm the best corner in the draft. So, I mean, yeah, the tape speak for itself.
Gianna?
Congrats. Just curious, what do you know about the Ravens defense, their style of play, and how do you feel like your own brand of play fits in with the Ravens?
I just know they're a ball and they get a lot of turnovers. And I know that, and in the past season, they was top defense. So I know my competitiveness is going to fit right along with the great defense.
Brian Wacker.
Hey, Nate, congratulations. Just curious, two things. Sounded like Dabo was texting with the Ravens all night about telling them to pick you. Were you aware of that, or what do you think of that? And secondly, what do you remember about your visit here on your top 30 visit, and when what kind of stood out to you?
I really didn't know about the Dabo texting the Ravens situation, so I don't really know about that. But the visit went well. It was a good visit. I feel like I was home. I mean, they invited me in so well, so I feel like I was home. So I know when I go back up there, it's gonna feel like home again.
Parita Parks and then Ryan Mink.
Hey, Nate, congratulations. You talked about the emotions of this night, and this is really not only a life-changing night for you, but also your entire family. Can you just reflect on what this means to you from that standpoint?
I know, just come from, not a lot of folks don't make it. So, I mean, there's a lot of emotion going on in the building right now. I'm just glad to be here. So, that's all.
Ryan?
Yeah, Nate, congratulations. Wonder if you, when were you the fastest guy on the field? And do you have any good stories about your speed?
I've always been the fastest guy on the field. I always been fast, so I don't really have a question about speed, but yeah.
We'll go Kyle Goon and then Jeff Zarebeck.
Hey, Nate, congratulations. Just wondering, what was your reaction when you see, you know, 13 offensive players come off the board initially? And then, you know, what is it like kind of realizing that you might be going toward the end of first round to a team that's already been competitive and good?
It was, like I said, it was emotion. It was just like thinking I'm going early, but I mean, the best play that God had planned for me. So we're here now. So I can't wait to make the best of it.
Jeff and then Kevin Richardson.
Two-part question, Nate. How much do you think the Ravens' defensive attitude kind of fits your playing style? And have you gotten a chance to talk to Trenton Simpson? And do you think he's a guy that can kind of help you along here as you make the transition to the NFL?
I feel like I fit in perfect with the Ravens defense. It's just like I said before, the competitiveness and just their mindset. They want to go get the ball and they want to win. So that's all. That's what I strive on doing. And that's why I feel like I'm the best fit for this team. Trisha Simpson, we just talked like about the last one when I was on a visit. He was like, I mean, yeah, I feel like he gonna be a big role in my part when I get there, because, I mean, he'll work with me. He know how to carry himself, so he'll be a big role in my part.
Kevin Richardson. back to Ryan Mink.
Sure. Nate, welcome to Baltimore. And being a young guy in college, what led you to start a foundation for underprivileged people in the community?
Just where I'm coming from, for real. When I came from, I didn't really have a lot growing up. So I know, when I'm going back to there, giving back, they ain't really got all of it. They ain't really got a lot of stuff. So I like to give back, and I just like to help people, for real.
And Nate, just wondering, you know, there weren't as many underclassmen in this year's draft class. You decided to come out early. What played into that decision? Was it just your confidence? And where do you feel like, hey, I'm a young guy and I still want to grow my game?
I feel like my decision basically came off my confidence, but also my talent. I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of. And I know I ain't even got quite to reach my highest potential yet. So I'm just getting better and better as the year go on.
We'll go Jonas Schaefer and then wrap it up with Cliff Brown.
Hey, Nate, congratulations, man. Is there a game that you feel like from last year or maybe the year before best exemplifies the kind of shutdown corner that you are?
You said what? The game? A game?
Yeah, a single game.
Florida State, Notre Dame, North Carolina. That's a couple of games I can name. I mean, a lot of games I was just been a shutdown corner, following the best receiver. The whole game. So I feel like most of the game I played this year showed that was a lockdown corner.
Yeah. Nate, how do you feel about, you know, being moved around in secondary, if that's how the Ravens want to use you, and also playing, you know, covering already against a lot of the top receivers in the SEC, how you feel, or excuse me, ACC, how you feel that'll help you at the next level?
The first question about the moving parts, I feel like it won't be a big deal with me because I feel like I can do whatever on the defense side, like cover. I can play nickel, I can play safety. So, I mean, it's not really a big part. I don't feel like it'll have a big jump on my success or nothing like that. And what was the other question?
About playing against some of the top receivers you've said faced in the ACC, and also, you know, when you're playing outside ACC, how much that will help you. You know, do you think the adjustment to the next level, that will help you, what you've already done in college?
Yes, sir, I feel like my defense coordinator making me match up with the best receivers this year, I feel like that had a big change in my life, like going on to the next level. Because, like, I mean, I'm going to see good receivers every week, and I feel like that's what I was doing when I was guarding the best receiver every week. So I feel like that's played a good part in it.
You're listening to the Ravens Press Pass podcast, and this is just the first round of the NFL draft. Rounds 2 and 3 will be on Friday night, and we'll also have the rest of the draft on Saturday. Nate is going to be in Baltimore on Friday to meet with the local media, as well as some of the coaches and everybody here in Baltimore. It's a busy weekend ahead. Also, if you want the full rundown and breakdown of this edition of Nate Wiggins, head over to the Lounge podcast feed. We've got a new episode posted there where we break down this edition and what it means for this team moving forward. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more to come this weekend.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.